So the sermon that I thought I was going to preach last week, I don't know if I would have. And so I said, well, I'll just carry it over to this week. And I may. I got it up here. Some notes. But just like, you know, I tell you all the time that I think he has a sense of humor. You know, because I like to be prepared and all that kind of stuff. And most time I'm not. As you say, well, I guess y'all can probably say, I know. We hear you. But that's okay. So think back. Let's start with this. Think back to when you were saved, when you received Christ. Okay? Whatever that may be for you.
Amen.
Now, if you hadn't accepted Christ yet, y'all, and so you get the opportunity too. But
Amen.
At some point, when you accepted Christ, I want you to think about that moment. Mm-hmm. Instead of it, maybe, I don't know how old you were. I don't know each one's story. That's why they call it your testimony.
Amen.
When you accepted Christ. And that is your best tool to use.
Amen.
On witnessing to people, is your testimony.
Right.
Because you know why? Because it means something to you. It's personal.
Amen.
And you get to share that with other people. You might not go in all the details. You might not tell them whatever. But your basic testimony, because if you're doing what we need to be doing, spreading God's word, spreading the gospel, at some point, if not right off the bat, you're going to be asked about your testimony.
Mm-hmm.
When did you receive Christ? How did you receive Christ? Who is Christ? And they're going to ask all these questions, right? You need to be prepared. So you take that when you receive Christ and think about where you're at today. Bridge that gap there. We're going to do a little. We're going to take, I don't know where we're going, but we're going to take in a walk. So just think about between the time you accepted Christ and now. Think about the stuff, I call stuff, things in between. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Some have been ugly. Some have been bad. Some have been good. It's been awesome.
Amen.
At times. We know that. And I'm not going to preach on Paul, and I'll tell you a backstory on Paul here in a little bit. But so Paul was writing a lot of his stuff in prison, you know, in a bad place. It's not like the Holiday Inn prison we got here.
Come on, preach.
Okay? Right. And stuff. You know, he was, actually, let me go ahead and go there for a minute. So when, typically in a Roman prison, it was a hole in the ground,
mm-hmm.
just straight down in the ground, dark, cold, no food, and he did a lot of his writing. But the reason I say that is Paul reflected in first, and I tell y'all some scripture we can go to in a minute, but right now I'm just going to talk about 2 Corinthians tells us, Paul writes, that he used that opportunity to write, to tell about his persecutions and stuff that happened to him. He put the emphasis on the what we call as humans negative, which increased his walk with Christ.
Amen.
And his purpose.
Yeah.
So he went through some physical stuff. I'm just going to hit the high points. He had persecution from the Jews. He got whipped. He got flogged. He got beat. He got thrown in prison. All the stuff you think comes with that. He was hungry. He was shipwrecked. He was in environmental stuff. He was out in the cold, out in the wet, out in the sea. He was in the wilderness. He was in the cities. He got robbed. He got beat up. He had some hardships. He had some sleepless nights. He hungered. He thirsted. He was cold. He was exposed. Just a laundry list of things that Paul, because he was a Christian,
Amen.
Suffered.
Not because
he was a bad person. Okay? So I want you to think, think about your Christian walk between now and then. Now, I don't think none of y'all been flogged. Maybe when your parents, when you messed up when y'all was younger. But I don't think parents do that no more. anyway, so think about, you had something happen because you was a Christian. It might have been not to just a stream, but you had some hardships. You had some things happen. When you walking with Christ, it's not a bed of roses all the time. It's It's not. You can be made fun of. You can be ridiculed. And I'm bringing all this up for a purpose to get to where I think we're going today. And stuff. So what is, those of you like titles. So you're a Christian, and I want you to think about some persecution you may have went through. We're not going to dwell on them. Just think about them. So today, I want you to start thinking about how are you living as made alive in Christ. Now let me, so I know you're living, you're breathing physically. I'm talking about spiritually. When you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you got that spiritual eternity. So how are you living that lines up the way you are alive in Christ? Because you're alive in Christ. Jesus come down and died on that cross to save you and I from eternal death. I couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. Your mama couldn't do it. Your daddy couldn't do it. Jesus Christ came and did it for you. Okay? How are you living, lack of better words, appreciation of that? How he tells you to live. Living is made alive because he made you alive in Christ. What does that look like? We're going to talk about those things. We're going to, then while we're talking about those things, think about your walk with Christ. And I'm not, I told myself I wasn't going to go there, and I'm not. I put a lot of emphasis on a daily walk with Christ. It's every day, 7 days a week. And so he works 7 days a week. So we're not going to put a lot of emphasis on that. But every day, how are you living for Christ? The fullness of Christ. Your salvation, that's the first step you took when you accepted Christ. With your salvation, your circumcised heart. Then he gave you forgiveness. Dead in your sins, let me start back up, dead in your sins by Jesus being nailed to the cross. That's a big statement there. What's that mean? So you was dead in your sins, which means you had sins, you sin, right? The flesh. He made you dead to that by dying on the cross and by you accepting him. He made you dead to that. He made you, I don't like to use the word exempt, but he made you exempt from eternal death. Amen. Through him. Amen. Through him. He released you from death. Death has lost all its power in your Christian life. Come on. It had lost every bit of it. Mm-hmm. Let that soak in a minute. All power. Don't worry about death. Jesus took care of it. We're going to step right on in to eternity with him forever and ever and ever, which I like. You know, I got to deal on eternity. We don't comprehend eternity. We think we might. It's forever. We don't comprehend forever. We are restricted as the flesh by time. And we're restricted by that. But we need to get past that. We're not restricted by that. Maybe your walk here on earth, we're just passing through. I don't care if you live to be 100 or whatever. Some of y'all getting pretty close. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me say that out loud.
You're only halfway there.
I'm only halfway there, so yeah. It's all about perspective, though.
Amen.
My kids think I'm old. I'm old. Then. I think I'm young. Colossians chapter 3. That was all just introduction stuff, okay? We get into the sermon here, man. You know, a good pastor always marks the spot where he's supposed to go. I didn't do that today, but I'm there. Colossians chapter 3, and I'm going to read a little bit. Y'all just listen to it. Watch it on the board when Daryl gets it up here in a minute. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. We can do a whole sermon just on that. But set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I kind of touched on that. That's what Paul was writing to Colossians here. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, now listen to this, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Think about that. It's coming. It's going to happen. Okay? Let me go on. You used to walk, notice that word, in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these. Here's another laundry list of stuff. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge, in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, slave, free, Christ and all, and is all... Other words, everybody. This works for everybody, okay? Pertains to everybody. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dressed dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together. Dear Heavenly Father, let's take these few minutes together. Just open our minds and hearts to what you have us received, Lord. Just let's take this scripture that you provided for us and just make it applicable in our life, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So let's unpack some of that. That's a lot of stuff. I forgot I had candy in my mouth. Sorry. That's public speaking. You don't do that. So what's he talking about? We're a Christian. We're going through persecution. You might have went through prosecution. I don't know. Persecution. All this stuff happens sometimes. But stay centered in your identity with Christ. Amen. That's where it starts. You're going to accept Christ, and we talk about it. It don't end there. It's just the beginning. Okay? You don't just get fire insurance and think you're good to go, because you're not. Right. It's a change. It's a transformation. Mm-hmm. And it lines up with what Christ, what he provided us in these few words. And we kind of hit on this a couple weeks ago, but we're going to go to a little different angle with it and stuff, because as a Christian, we accepted Christ. Here we are. Now, what's it look like? The word since, it started out, Paul says, since, is used to convey that these things already happened. You realize that? Christianity didn't start when you accepted Christ. Come on. It started for you. Mm-hmm. But it was already there. Oh, yeah. It's always been there. Jesus always was, will, and whatever, how it goes. He's eternal. He's always been there. So what Paul is stating is, it's nothing that you work towards. I say you. With Christ, you're going to work towards those goals and get there. But you can't do it. And that's what he's saying. It's already been done. We just got to tap into it. Amen. That's all we got to do. It truly is simple to follow Christ. Amen. We put that in front of it. We mess it up. We do. We let the flesh take over. Come on. We need to focus on Christ. And I wrote a little thing I run across talking about how we mess it up. In the midst of suffering, it's not the ideal time to study God's word and character. Didn't say not to study his word or character. It's not the ideal time. Okay? Before adversity comes is the time to be diligent about writing his words on your heart. Don't wait until you got a problem before you talk to God or read his word. Prepare yourself. So when trials do come, and Jesus even said in chapter, read Matthew chapter 24 one day, the whole chapter. It don't say if, it says when. When things happen, trials come, we are ready to stand on the rock, a solid foundation of Christ. Prepare yourself. You know, I'll use the analogy of an athlete, you know, like football. You watch the Super Bowl Sunday. What you see is the finished product of the athlete. What he's been, you didn't see all the stuff he went through to get to that point. Same with us, with our walk with Christ. Don't wait till you have issues and problems. Oh, me, oh, Lord, help me. Reach out to him when things are good, too. Study his word. Be ready for those trials and stuff when they come up. So that way, it's on your heart. You might not know verbatim, but you kind of know in your head or your heart where to go. It's in his Bible, in his word, to help you through that situation. So don't wait till the last minute. When Christ died, believers died with him. We're talking about the old self. It died with him. Galatians 2:20 tells us, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's the difference. That's the key. Christ lives in you, in me, in Christian. You accept Christ? We are therefore buried with him through baptism and death. That's Romans 6:4. I got a lot of scriptures today. I usually don't do that, but if you just reference to them. When he raised from the grave, we raised with him. We had a few baptisms here lately, water baptism. You understand what that represents? When Christ died on the cross, was buried, the third day he rose again. Baptism is washing away the old, coming up with the new. New in Christ. That's a representation, the command he gives us to do. Because when he, like I said, when he raised from the grave, we raised with him. And God raised us up with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. He got a place prepared for us in his heavenly home. You understand that when Jesus died on the cross, we're adopted into the family. We're not just visitors. We're not just guests. We're part of the family. The family of God. Yep. Jesus is sharing all that inheritance with you and I. And Jesus died for everybody. Those who accept him walk in brand new life. The old is gone. It's available for everybody. And he chose to use us as his vessel to get the word out. His people, his church. You ever invited somebody to church and they never came? Church, because we're out of bad habit saying this is church. The building. It's a place to meet. We're the church. Sometimes we might need to change our way of thinking in the Western society. Maybe the church needs to go out to them. You know, if something broke, it don't work, you might want to change something. You might want to tweak it up a little bit. Remember the early church? What did they do? They were traveling around looking. So we're going to stay centered in Christ. He told us what to do. Stay centered in him. That's where it starts. You know, you keep your relationship with Christ going. And then you're going to set yourselves in Christ. Let me explain that. Your identity in Christ is his blueprint that he done for us. But now we got to do what Christ did when he was here. What did he do? He came as a servant. Set your hearts and things above. And he preached that the whole time he was here on earth. He didn't get caught up in the fleshly things, the worldly things. He stayed focused on his purpose, and he followed through with it. What's that mean, set your things on things above? Well, he told us in Scripture, he's at the right hand of God. He invited us to come in with him. Come on up. We need to earnestly seek something long term. When I say long term, I mean eternity, forever. And that's in Christ. Don't worry about what happens here. I don't know. It's hard not to. Things happen to us. Things go along. But we need to look. And let me tell you how to get past those things. Keep your faith in Christ, number one. And look ahead. Look at the big picture as much as you can like he does. Look at your... And the only time I will tell you to dwell on your past a little bit is look what he has got you through before. And you're still here. Everybody in here probably went through something in their lifetime up to this point. And just look back. God was always there. And he got you through it. And he will continue to do that until... you come home. We got to learn how to pursue things in heaven. I'm glad you asked why or how. Matthew 6:33, a lot of y'all know this. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. There's a big lie the devil likes to throw out there, Satan. No, you can't have fun when you're a Christian. You can't do nothing. No, you can. Put God first. That's all he tells you. And all the other things are falling into place. Amen. Now, that old stuff that we used to do, we don't need to do because we're dead to it. Throw that out. We live in, here's our problem. We live in a very me-centered world. Me. I guarantee you, and I'm not, look, I'll be getting in trouble when I say this. So look, next Sunday, you ain't going to be able to stick another person wherever they're having a Super Bowl at. I don't care what the weather is. I don't care how bad it is. I guarantee you that Super Bowl will be, for however big it is, 100,000 people on the inside.
Come on.
And I'm not preaching against the Super Bowl. What I'm preaching against is, as long as you line your stuff up with God first, he allows you to go to the Super Bowl, go ahead and pay that $6,000 for a cheap ticket. If he allows you to do that, go ahead. You can do things, but just keep your priorities straight. That's what Jesus is saying. Keep your priorities straight, which is him. Everything revolves around my wants, my needs, and my preferences. And I'm not going to stay there too long. That's kind of depressing. But that's the world we live in. We need to recognize that we are not the center of the universe. God is.
Amen.
Right. That's what we need to realize. Guess what? When I die, whenever that may be, when I'm gone from here, probably not that long, a year from now, who was that? And so somebody can take my place here. So we don't focus on here. Here is just temporary at best.
Amen. Right.
Temporary.
Come on.
We need to focus on that eternity with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And don't let this world separate you from that. Amen. Don't let stuff separate you from that. You got to deal with things. I know it. You do. You got to pay bills. You got to work. You got to go to hospital when you're sick. You got to do all this stuff. But don't lose your focus on who's in charge.
Yep.
Your true identity and purpose in life are hidden with Christ. And why is it hidden? It's not. First of all, you got to build that relationship to find out what it is. That's why it's hidden.
Amen.
You don't just read a book and become a Christian. This is his book. It's not a lesson plan. It's a relationship. Let's hope I probably messed that up when I said it, but it's a relationship. So the people on the outside would not understand what a believer's motivations and goals are. Set apart. That's what that means. He's talking about, Jesus is talking about set you apart. You're set apart. You're different. And it's going to make the non-believers wonder, what's this guy doing or gal? What's different? Something different about him. What is that? Mm-hmm. Some that might make curious, and some that might make fun of you.
Right.
They might want to stay away from you. I'll stay away from that idiot. Your true identity is hidden in Christ. We talk about that. You're set apart. And I read that laundry list a while ago. I'm not going to, you know, you got to put to death the earthly nature. Put all that junk, the earthly nature. That stuff I read earlier. Now let me see if I put this in words like I got in my head. Sometimes what I got in my head don't come out the way I mean it. Y'all saying, yeah, I know. So, you know, he said, you know, get away from sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, anger, rage. You ain't got to be perfect to be a Christian. Okay? Perfect in Christ. Okay, Christ is going to take you, clean you up, mop you up, whatever you got to do. I like how Osi says it. God put his foot on his neck and got his attention. He'll tell you that. That's his testimony, part of his testimony. Sometimes he got to get ugly with you.
Oh, yeah.
Lack of better words. So don't get hung up on, I got to be perfect. You can't do nothing. That's why you need to focus on Christ. Give it to him. And whatever it is, just don't stay in that situation, whatever you're in. Whatever separating you from God, get out of the situation. Move on. Get that wedge away. Don't just stay there. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming, he said. Make a clean break and move forward with Christ. Not just a one-time act. All through your life. As long as you live here, you need to have that daily walk with Christ. What's that old saying? It's not a one and done. You don't get baptized. You know, I accept Christ. I get baptized. I do all the stuff the church wants me to do. I do all this stuff. It don't end there. It really beginning. Because that's when you start building on that relationship. How close you get to God. And it's a process. You're not going to accept Christ and whatever junk or baggage you got, it ain't just going to go away overnight. It's a process. Let God work on it. Let God take care of it. You got to give it to him. All earthly distinctions begin to fade away when a person is joined with Christ. They begin to fade away. Jesus knows that you're human, that you've got fleshly desires. He knows that's why he died for us. Because he knows we couldn't do it. So he died for us to take those things away. And just, it's not an overnight process. But clothe yourself with what he says. In Scripture, he tells us, be holy and dearly loved, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, forgiveness. Now, does that mean that every situation, all the time, 100% of the time, you're always going to be kind? No, you might slip a little bit. Or forgiveness. We need to do those things. If we're struggling with one of those, then we just need to give it to Christ and work with Him. Let Him work through us. Talk to Him. Tell Him, hey, God, I'm struggling with forgiving this person for whatever. Or I'm struggling with kindness and compassion. What do I do? Give it to Him. Because if you hadn't fixed it yet, you ain't going to fix it. Because you can't. If you got that problem, that separation. But Christ can. But you got to open up to Him. You got to submit to Him. Let Him work things through you. I hadn't always been perfect. I don't know if y'all know that or not. You know, I stumped my toe a couple times in the past. Y'all be quiet now. Some of y'all in here, I got some co-workers in here that... But clothe yourself with that stuff. Characteristics that will be evident in your life on a daily basis. Consider your attitudes, your actions. Do they line up with Christ? A choice believer makes each day. What does your walk look like? That's what I'm going to leave you with. Just think about when you're saved. Just think about what God has brought you through to this point, and just had the faith that He'd get you through whatever's coming up and stuff. But what does your walk look like? Does it line up with Christ? If it don't, it ain't the end of the world. We ain't worried about the end of the world. We worry about what Christ wants, what He needs. Let Him work on you. Let Him do it. I got to do it all the time. All the time. I don't know about you, but I need to talk to Him every day to help me with stuff. Amen. It don't come natural. And that flesh is tough. I know it is. So I don't expect it no different for y'all either. And He doesn't either. He knows. He knows. So give it to Him. Y'all come forward. Y'all stand. If you're a Christian, which a lot of y'all in here I know are, just evaluate, look yourself in the mirror. Just get with Christ. Ask Him, am I where I need to be right now? If not, work on it. It's like I said, it's a process. Don't fret over it got to be right now. If you hadn't received Christ and you want to start this journey, now's the time to do it. Amen. Today's the day of salvation. Amen. When you're still breathing. Amen. You can do it where you're standing. You can come up here and pray on the altar. You can come talk to me. I can just guide you where you need to go. I can't do nothing for you, but do that. It's all in Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this day. I just thank You for this opportunity to hear Your word and Your message. Just thank You for the opportunity just to hear Your word, Lord, and just open our minds and hearts to what You have us receive. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.